Hi everyone, how are you? Happy holidays. It's getting towards the end of 2018 officially. Holy crap, that's kind of crazy, huh? 2018 moved really, really fast for me. I'm sure for a few others it was probably quite slow. I guess it depends on what you're doing. Someone said to me recently is like it was probably because you're so busy. I'm like, it's probably why. I feel like when you're in a rush, everything seems to go by so quick, but when you're so bored and have nothing to do, the time seems so slow. It's really quite weird. I'm happy to be with you guys. It's episode two. You know, I like to keep it real relaxed. I realize even with the last one, people were like, I love the naturalness of it. You know, I love that there's no intro, there's no music, there's no this and that. I mean, honestly, it wasn't something that I was like, I really went into it just being like, okay, I'm just gonna talk. Like, podcasts, obviously, I'm not trying to be like, oh, this is a really great, well-produced, beautiful, thing. I'm not, I really just wanna talk. I just wanna talk for 45 minutes and answer people's questions and just share my knowledge as much as possible. And any way I can do that, which is this, without having to really spend the extra time on like editing and all that stuff. I literally, the last one, I spoke for exactly 45 minutes. It says 45 minutes and 2 seconds. I didn't even cut it. I literally just sent it out on all of the things and it was just like, all right, here we go. So I don't know, whatever which way you accept that, which I hope you do, because I don't know, maybe it'll change over time, maybe it won't, but I think I definitely do want it to be a little more fluid for myself. I read something online about virtual assistants, excuse me, and virtual assistants are the wave, quite honestly. I mean, they are gonna really assist you with a lot of things. There's a lot of things that they offer. They'll edit your podcasts for you. They'll post your podcasts for you. They'll kind of like really make it cool. And there's people who will even edit your YouTube videos for you, which is kind of amazing. I mean, for people like me who I'm really just a creative. There's all types of other things that I really genuinely like doing that is just not going to work without the helpful hand of other people. And I think that helpful hand is something that a lot of people need to get used to. For me, it's taken me quite a bit to accept that I do need help with certain things. It's taken me a bit to ask for help at least. I think it's one thing to just get help and it's another to actually ask for it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's I get help most times, but it's kind of like, okay, how do you learn to ask people for things? And that is something that I'm still working on. I'll have assistants and stuff, and I feel like they'll really kind of put their foot forward and do things for me at the moment, and I'm just such a do everything myself type of person that I'll just kind of go for it and figure it out myself. And they're like, no, let me do this for you. That's why I'm working. And I'm like, oh yeah. So, honestly, yeah. So things are good. All things are great. I'm excited about the podcast. I think virtual assistants are gonna assist me on getting this out a little quicker. I think it's gonna assist me eventually. Not right now, because right now I'm literally just going 45 minutes through and we're just gonna conversate. And I've got a few topics people have asked me, even from the last time they asked me, and then some new ones that people have sent me along the way from listening to the last one. So I'll definitely try to get through as much as I can. I love that last time I went over the time, I mean, I tried to stay on 45 minutes. I love that it said 45 minutes and 2 seconds exactly. But I'm gonna try to stay on that exact time too again. I really like that kind of like push. I actually was reading on Pinterest that it said the top time is 22 minutes. Do you guys think 22 minutes is good? I don't know why I chose 45 minutes. 45 minutes seems like quite a quest, right? Maybe I just made that up. I don't know who does 45-minute podcasts. I think I listened to Gary Vee 45-minute ones. Who knows? Okay, so last time we talked quite a bit about, you know, like budgets and confidence and things like that and clout, and that was really the title of the podcast. And we also talked about mental health, and I think we talked maybe quite a little bit about art therapy or something. That might have been just a part of the last question. But so today, ladies and gentlemen and others, we are going to be talking about balancing a full-time job and your creative work. And also the second question, when is a good time to go full-time on your creative passion? So balancing a full-time job and creative work to me is, I don't know, I think it's about the same thing. The thing is that with creative work comes full-time work. You have to decide if what you're doing creatively is really pushing yourself into a place where you will have the opportunities to do what you love all the time. And what's going to happen is you don't have to balance anymore, because then you're just doing what you want to do all the time. You don't have to do anything, really. So, I mean, get to a point where your creative work is speaking for your full-time work while, you know, you're doing full-time work. I think, okay, so for some people, and this could show like my place and where I'm at right now in my like career, you know. When I first started, I was working at a realty business, like when I first started kind of like the Instagram stuff, and I had a lot of time on my hands. Like, I wasn't traveling. I didn't have a lot of gigs. Like, they were coming and going. Like, they weren't that serious, you know. And I needed money. I needed cash to pay for my bills and stuff. Granted, it really was not that much money at all. Thinking back, I'm like, how did I even survive? It's kind of nuts. But, you know, you just bear through it and do what you got to do. So I think that what this person is asking specifically is, how do you balance a full-time job and creative work? Now, for some people, this could be a big load of creative work. And then for some people, for me, when I first started, this could be a decent amount of work, right? So if you're balancing a full-time job and you've got creative work, you need to figure out, one, your hours, obviously. You know, communicate with people, see if you can get the hours that you need to do what you want to do. But like I said initially, do creative work that's going to push you in a place where you can do that full time. You don't need to do regular people full time stuff if that's not what you want to do. If that's making you money that you need, please, by all means, do it. But if it's taking away from the time where you could be growing and dedicating your craft to something that could assist you in becoming and being happy and becoming something greater than what you've ever dreamed, yes, you need to drop the full-time job, because it's not going to be good in the long run. Maybe it is for the short time, but I think every person, and I wish I remembered exactly where I saw this, but it was like, you know, learn 9 things in life and then be good at like 5 of them and then master 2. Don't spread yourself too thin. And that's what I think is happening for most people, and that's kind of what happened to myself, is like, I can do so many things right now, really. I can really do so many things, but I should do a lot of things about the same thing or two that I'm really, really good at and really, really passionate about. Think about people that you really like, right? Think about what they do, and think about how good they are at that thing. Or maybe it's a few things. What if it's something? But they're really, really great And they can shed so much knowledge on one or two things that are very specific. And I think if we all, as individuals, find a love and a unique, genuine passion for something, and I'm going to talk about this actually later. Someone asked me too, like, how do you find your passion, okay, right? So I'm going to go over that later too. But for right now, that passion is what's going to push you much further than anything else can ever do that. So realistically, so yeah, figure out what you think is going to work for you and what's going to push you in a realm of where balancing doesn't need to be thought of. So when is a good time to go full-time on your creative passion? It's, like I said, you know, a full-time, for me specifically, and I guess there is a good time. There really is a good time. The good time is when you don't have time to be at the other one. Time is isn't it all this question, right? When is a good time to go full time on your creative passion? You're asking someone else what to do with your time. You need to decide what you want to do with your time. No one else can tell you what you want to do with your time but you. So when you want to get up and do something completely different than you're doing right now, you need to just do it. There is no good time. The best time is right now. The best time is when you can put in the work to dedicate, to show people that you want what you need. And maybe it's not, you know, shooting photos. Maybe it's going to school. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. It could be literally anything. But it would have to be something that you would have to be in the moment of. Creative passions are one thing, but finding your passion is another. A lot of people I've been chatting with actually tell me that they don't have like a passion. They don't know like what they like. And I think there's a few different types of people in the world, right? I think that there's people who have the dream for themselves. They live for that dream, right? And then there's other people who work for the dream of someone else. And some people are okay with living off the dream of someone else because they don't want to be in the spotlight. They like the other things attached, you know, all the other, there's, and think about this, there's a job for everybody forever. Think about the one person who makes a screw that is necessary to be in a remote that everyone uses in their entire house. That one screw creator can make billions and billions of dollars every year just being a screw maker. That kind of shit kind of blows my mind sometimes when I really think about it, how a lot of people are chasing after something that's not sustainable. Even for me, I think, and I wake up, I'm like, ooh, like, this is amazing. I have the best job in the world, but it is the craziest thing. It is so unstable and it is unbelievable. Tomorrow I could literally be cut off. Like, if my Instagram deleted, I'm over. Like, I mean, not entirely over, don't get me wrong. I think I'm like one of the most creative people I've ever known, but that's just to say that I could kind of work with whatever I have, but it's not that easy. Instagram is genuinely my work and my pride and my blood. So it's like, yo, if I don't have Instagram right now and it just deleted tomorrow and not, and just my account and not just the app or something, and I can never get it back, right? I'd be like, wow, that's it. So then I'd have to get another job and figure that out. You know what? I've always been pretty decent at like just internet. I like the internet. I used to have a lot of followers on MySpace. MySpace was like my spot. I used to make MySpace layouts and sell them at in middle school at lunch and stuff. And people would be like, yo, Swopes, make me a header and stuff. And I'd be like, let's go. Pay me in like lunch money or like McDonald's cheeseburgers or something. I really got paid in McDonald's cheeseburgers. Those were pretty great. Okie dokie. So, the power of community within the creative community. You know what? Community is a big thing with me. I think I am so private sometimes. Like, I'm not really, like, I can really stay to myself for a very long time and not really reach out to many people. And it's not, like, a negative thing. I love people. I'm very, like, I'm an empath. And for people who don't know what an empath is, it's a person who's really just, like, empathetic. I mean, I feel people's pain. I feel, like, what people are going through. I can, like, read people's energy very easily. I know someone who's sketchy, and I know someone who's, like, so sweet and authentic so quick. Like, quick. So, with that being said, I need a lot of time sometimes to just, like, be by myself, and just do whatever I want to do, create, and maybe do art, or maybe just watch TV, or just go get a massage, or go shop, or whatever it may be. I just feel like just doing my own thing. I can be by myself for a very long time. Like, I really genuinely could. A lot of people I know who are just like, oh, you know, I always like someone around or whatever. I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'm straight. And it's not like I don't, I told you, it's not like I don't like people. I really like people. I think people are dope. So, anyway, so the power of community within the creative community. Community is great. When I started on Instagram, I think that community was the reason I became a suggested user. Community was the reason that I became so enamored with the idea of creating on mobile and having this like device where I could edit and also communicate with people at the same time and kind of build. And I think right now we are living in like the golden age of community, and I get like, you know, community is all about like, you know, being able to knock on your neighbor's door and get sugar if you need to. Because if I knocked on my neighbor's door right now and asked her for sugar, you know goddamn well she would be like, no, you need to go downstairs and you need to go to the little supermarket and get some sugar, girl, because this is not your spot. And but community right now is like, hey, this person's work is fire. I'm gonna retweet it and I'm gonna tell everybody about it. Like, and I'm gonna like it or whatever. Like, that's community. We have community so crazy right now, where each and every niche of yours can be sustained by another group of people who are just as passionate about it. For me, I'm finding a difficulty to find where I fit in. Now, I just watched a YouTube video. And it was basically about, you know, the 10 top things you may be doing wrong on your Instagram and why you're losing followers, right? And one of the topics is that you're not following and you're not communicating with people who are like you, who you want to be like, right? But I'm thinking, I'm like, who do I want to be like? Like, who makes stuff like me? And I know, but it's like, I'm having difficulty right now figuring out where I fit in and where my community like that is. If this is correct information, I specifically am trying to figure out, who am I like? Where is my community? Where is the people like me who make the same work as me? I'm also trying to figure out, you know, like, is it corny? I find myself in the surreal realm of things, and this is what I just don't want to do with my work. I don't want to be corny. I hate cheesy stuff. I don't like anything that's just kind of like phony and just whatever and just like, I don't know. But I also am very like magical. There's a thin line between magical and corny. So I really just try not to tip the cheesy corny scale. And if I can stay on the cooler side, it would be nice. But it's not on purpose. It's just like, I just don't like it. So I'm having trouble finding my community in the surrealism community, where people aren't doing these, you know, things that are all the same as everybody else. Like the weird white girls in dresses that are standing on mountaintops with birds on their fingers and shit. Like, I don't give a fuck about that shit. I really genuinely don't. No offense to anybody who does it, but it's just not my thing. I just think we're better than that type of shit. I think our ideas are bigger, and I want to build bigger, better things. I love my giraffe. I think my giraffe is bigger than me at this point. It's not something that I feel like is... It's work at this point. Like, I think that's good, though. I am trying to make the Swopes giraffe bigger and better every time, and I hope that I do. But even in my head, it needs to be better. What I want to do genuinely is actually start doing 3D design, start learning how to, and I'm teaching myself a little bit. It's not as good as like Beeple or any of those other people who are so fire, but honestly, I want to build 3D animations of giraffes in scenes of Chicago. I just need a lesson, and I need to teach. I mean, I need to learn, and I need to be taught, and I just need to sit down with it. So, anyway, so community lifted me into suggested user status on Instagram. We commented on each other's photos. We'd like each other's photos and lift them up as much as possible so that everyone else could see them on the Explore page. And at the time, it was called the Popular Page. The Popular Page was such a cool space on Instagram. It was where the Explore page was located, and it was curated, and it was this one page. It wasn't even just for, like, you specifically. It wasn't like, hey, you have the same similar likes as these things, here's some suggested likes. Like, no, this was one page of Instagrams, of posts, of people's, and there was an algorithm to it. We figured there was an algorithm, and it was how many likes you get in a certain amount of seconds, and we pushed for those likes. It was grueling, because we knew what it took. And what it took was better photos. What it took was really dedicating and being completely obsessed and consistent with Instagram. We really, it wasn't like, it's great, because sometimes I do downplay the way that I operated my success on Instagram, because I do give a lot of thanks to the suggested user list. But I do also think that what we did was something truly interesting, and I don't think we knew what we were doing. We were really mathematically placing ourselves in a place to be seen by millions of people around the world. And what that was going to allow us to do was to show what we cared about, what we loved. It wasn't about anything else. When I first started, it's kind of crazy. I started editing on an iPhone 4. And that's not even when I started creating. I started creating when I was 9 or 10 years old. But when I started creating for Instagram, I started creating on an iPhone 4. I picked up my cousin's phone the other day, and I was like, what is this? And it was an iPhone 5, and it was so small. It was so small. I haven't picked up one in so long, and it was so weird, because I'm just like, how did I create on this thing? It's so tiny. I have the iPhone XX Max right now, and it's pretty large phone, you know, but I'm used to it now. I'm so used to it, because I'll hold other people's phones, and I'm just like, this is the tiniest thing I've ever seen. Phones are small. Having this XX Max and getting used to it, I'm just like, wow, this is, I don't know who I've become. I don't know who I've become. But you know what? It's good to work with other people. It's really important to put yourself out there and to do collaborations. When we were all starting on Instagram, we were doing collabs all the time. I did collaborations with 13th Witness. I did collaborations with Trash. I did collaborations with so many different people. And I wish I could remember all their names right now, but I'm not even going to try. But I just remember specifically Timmy, 13th Witness, sent me a photo of his. And it was like this open truck in the back. And at the time, I was doing these like little like spheres, these like balls in my photos, and I put the balls like in that car, and we had these really, in the truck, and we had this really awesome collab. And I think right now like the best thing about community is doing collaborations with people. My collaborations right now are like obviously paid collaborations with brands and doing really cool marketing schemes and stuff like that. But I think for the smaller people who are trying to really kind of do something cool, collaborate with one another, build something together. I think all of our audiences are, we might think that all the same people follow us, but they really don't. All different people follow everybody, and you can really share different perspectives by just making sure that you're collaborating with people in an authentic way too. Mostly is not, you know, shout outs can do something for you, but if you're not creating and really giving someone to look at, you know, giving someone something to look at, you're not really, you know, you're not doing anything. A shout out can't get you really anything. So just do some work and get inspired. The next question is, how do you respond to negative people? Do you move on? Do you not? Do you respond? Blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I used to respond all the way to negative people. When I first really started getting a lot of feedback from haters, mostly about like maybe my ads, or maybe someone said, I mean, no one's ever said like, your work sucks or something like that. Like, that's never really happened. But the only thing that's ever happened is people just being like, you're a sellout or whatever. And that I used to be, or maybe like something negative might, or no, I'll just say that. I mean, I guess it's in response. I was going to say really, how do I respond to negative things? But this is more so, how do you respond to negative people? So negative people, I used to respond to, and I used to like really come at them, and I think it only made me more revved up. Like, it only made the situation like more like, you know, a thing. Like, I realized just as I got older was that I have the decision to make something a thing in my life. I have the whole power to decide how to make something matter to me. And how I decided that was that I just wasn't going to respond. I was just going to go ahead and block them and delete the comment and move on. Because what I realized, what I used to do was, when I responded, my hands would get all sweaty and I'd be like in a conversation, I'd be waiting them to respond, and then I'd be like in regret because maybe someone saw the response and maybe it was, you know, I don't know. Like, there was just a lot of thoughts that went into it, and it was so much more energy that I think it deserved. And I don't think that any of us deserve to put ourselves in a position to be feeling like, you know, we're enabling ourselves into a problem, an even greater problem than we're already in. So I guess, what negative situation are you in? Like, I mean, a lot of negative situations are different. If it's like, you know, is this negative person like doing something, or is the negative person like stopping your cash? Like, I don't know. It's just, negativity, I think, can only continue by us responding to it. And I think the more we, and it just really genuinely depends on the topic, because not everything is so like specific. Not, you can't generalize these things and be like, oh, this is the problem solver for everything. Like, no, everything is so unique and so like specific, you know. Like, we just have to really be aware when we conversate about a lot of different things like this, is that you have to feel a situation out for yourself in that moment. You have to decide how and if you should respond. Because some people deserve a response, and not that they deserve, but some people should get a response because it's the right thing to do, and that it would make you feel better, because you have to live with yourself. You're the one that has to be in your own body, and you have to really decide, is this response that I'm going to give, will it cause the situation to be worse? How do you react to negativity? How will they react to negativity? In what space are you in? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many variables. So depending on how you conversate and how you deal with people, feel that out. And you'll figure it out in time, but it has to be in your gut and how you think the outcome will favor you. Do you want to live in a world where you're feeling like it's negative? Do you want to be that person? You can decide that. It's not anyone else. It's not like, oh, this person said this to me, so I have to respond. No, it's your fault if you are responding to a negative person. And if they're in your face physically, and I guess I'm just more talking about like comments and stuff. If they're in your face physically, you know, like a negative person who's just like, you know, I think just, yeah, I don't know, ignore them. I am in a place right now where I'm just protecting my energy so much. I'm done with the BS. Like, real talk, I'm just done, like, with, like, enabling people. I'm done with, like, enabling situations. I'm done with just silly stuff. And that's not to say that life's going to be perfect and it's going to be like, oh, it's all flowers and daisies, whatever, because there's still going to be drama and there's still going to be extra things that happen every day. But what I've decided is that I'm going to say, okay, I'm here and my response is what's going to decide the outcome. You have choices. Everything in this life is a test. And if you're at this test, what choice are you going to pick? And you know already the answers. You just have to be aware of yourself and be mindful, mostly. Mindfulness is something that mindfulness genuinely was my word and thing of 2018. I became more mindful. I became more just thinking farther through things and thinking about who I am and why I do things. We all, as people, have to be really, really honest about who we are and why we do things. My biggest flaw growing up in my 20s was that I wasn't aware of myself. I wasn't aware of why I was doing things. I wasn't aware of like why I was saying things. I wasn't, even though I feel like I was the same person, and it's interesting to even say, because I feel like I've almost transcended into a different level of like thinking and being, but I still know who I was then. But that person who I was not thinking how I'm thinking right now. My thinking became a situation where I have full control over my emotions, over why I feel things, over why, like, I'm telling you, I used to get like horrible anxiety. Like, I still get anxiety every now and then, but now if I get it, I know what it's from, because I've fully accepted that anxiety and all, depression and all that stuff is not in me. I'm not clinical, and we talked about this the last time. I am not a clinically depressed person. I am not clinically anxiety ridden. I am a self-induced mental illness person, because the thing is that you can feel those exact feelings, right? You can feel depressed, you can feel anxiety, and you can feel all the mental illnesses, but you have to decipher what's the reason behind it. Is it because your mind is not wiring correctly? Is it because you've got to pee? Is it because you've smoked the wrong batch of weed or some shit? Like, you have to really, and if you're depressed, is it because you're not doing shit you're supposed to be doing? Is it because you're back and you're in debt? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just think about the things that are the cause before you decide that this illness is a you. the pills and all those things, they can help so many people who need it, but it's not for everyone, and don't use that stuff as an excuse. Anyway, that's how you respond to negative people. Forget them. So how to find your passion or interest? I forgot that I mentioned this earlier, actually. So we'll end on this note, actually. So how to find your passion? Let me tell you something. Finding your passion means that's something you wake up in the morning and you feel you're excited. You're so excited to just do it. You're excited to be there, and you're excited to just, you know, just that's a good feeling. What makes you feel like that? What do you like, you know? What's interesting? You don't have to be creative these days. You can build things. And like I said earlier, there are people who are billionaires from creating textiles, from creating a button, from creating sewing needles, from creating the most simple things, but because they create a factory and they create a business for other people and they create livelihoods and then they make money and they, you know, it's like you don't have to be something that everyone else is, and you don't have to be perfect, or you don't have to do anything. Just be happy and figure out what's going to make you feel like you are on the right path, and it's going to be a longevity. You know, I am myself struggling on how to answer this question, because specifically I've always known what my passion is. I've always known that I loved art. I always knew that I really loved design. And I remember getting that computer. I remember making stuff on it. I remember just being so obsessed with just making things. I could almost cry just thinking about it right now, quite honestly. Because it's just such, it's like, that's like, the fact that I get to do it, and sometimes I get like so stressed about it. Sometimes I get stressed about work, and I get stressed about just like being overwhelmed or having to put out ideas or pitching things or whatever. You know, maybe a check is late or something. I don't know. But I just have to, like, get back to this moment where I'm just like, wow, like, I really did it. Like, it's just kind of crazy. And I think what we have to do, we have to start in a place where we're thinking, we're dreaming of not just, like, the outcome, but in the moment, what do you want to do? What's going to make you feel good now? And whatever that is, do it consistently. Do it efficiently. And if it's, you know, building a business, if it's literally anything in the world, we all are so unique. And like I said earlier, I think the problem that I have with a lot of the stuff that's happening now is like, we don't have to all be celebrities. We can genuinely just make buttons and screws and remotes and glasses and wine and whatever, you know, or candles. And be so, so, so good at that. And just, like, spread that. I'm in a place where I'm just trying to figure out, like, I know what I love, right? Like, I know that I like talking about the stuff I like talking about. So that's what I'm going to talk about. It's taken me so long to really kind of figure out, okay, you don't have to do, like, what everyone else is doing. You know, like, that's not what's going to put you, like, up on top. What's going to put you on top is what you care about and what you genuinely have, like, experienced and gone through, and like, is, are you, like, what shows in your voice that's that people are going to be like, I believe in this, like, I want to know more, and I know that they're saying things that are, like, genuine. I don't listen to anyone if I know they're bullshitting me, you know. Like, I think that's like a serious thing for me, is like, just don't bullshit me. I don't like, I just don't like it. Like I said, I'm a people reader. I'm an energy reader. So I know when people are just like, oh, yeah, okay, you know. Like, don't play me. I'm very upfront and I'm very vocal and I'm very, like, honest. And that is hard to find sometimes with people. I'm also not one to, like, and that's not to say that I'll be, like so extra to the point where I make someone feel bad, because I'm too much of an empathetic person to be like that. I'm too damn nice. So, you know, how to find your passion is just what feels good. What's going to make you smile? What's going to make you happy? And what's going to make people around you, not right now, probably happy? Because sometimes finding your passion and your interest doesn't include anybody else. Sometimes it only includes you, and that's okay. It's okay for you to be on a journey by yourself, because I had to be on a journey by myself for quite some time. Nobody saw that my passion or interest was playing out. But I was persistent on it in my own mind and in my own creative field in my own way. And I'm glad that it worked out like it did. And that's a long time, you know, investing your time in something. Time is good. By the time you practice something for 5 years, you'll be perfect at it. And you won't even have to think about, wow, you know, I'm glad I started. You'll look back. It's kind of crazy. Time flies. So just start now. So, like I said, it's been such a good conversation with you guys. I think I would really like it to be 45 minutes. You know, I like a good 45, but let me know if you like it more, a little shorter. You can definitely get way more on topic on a few specific things exactly. But for right now, I hope you enjoy episode 2. I hope you guys have a really wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Happy New Year. 2019 is going to be our best year yet. If you're like me and you're like very self-aware and you're very mindful and you know like what's, you know, good right now, I think we're going to have a good year. Just be good to people. Be good to yourself, most importantly. That's the first one. Be good to yourself, and then be good to people, and everything else will work out. And find your passion. Doesn't need to be a passion. It can be whatever. It can be a feeling. It could be a thing. It can be a whatever. You know, just find something that makes you feel like you want to do it. What do you want to do? You know? All right, guys. Take care.